Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Shift Church from All Saints Wellington in Telford. My name's Tim Carter, and I've got some folk here with me this evening. Say good evening, Sean.
Hello, and good evening, everyone.
Say good evening, Sarah.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Indeed.
Indeed, yes.
Has anybody been doing anything special for St. Patrick's Day?
No.
Not me.
No,
sorry.
Anybody out there on the stream been doing anything special for St. Patrick's Day? That's what we want to know. Any St. Patrick's Day excitement out there?
Yeah, I'm on the stream, so talk to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Say hello. Anybody here got youngsters at St. Patrick's? Because we've got a primary school in the parish called St. Patrick's. So you'd hope that they did something good.
Yeah, you'd have thought so, wouldn't you?
You'd have hoped so.
Yeah.
I've got a son in Wales, so I'm all right for St. David's Day, but I haven't got any affiliations with Ireland at all. Charlotte's saying happy St. Patrick's Day as well, but nothing. I don't even know anybody that's out. Do you know what? I haven't got any close family or friends that are Irish. That's what I mean.
Yeah, Sarah. When in holes, stop digging.
Yes.
Well, the thing at the minute, you don't get to see many people, do you?
No,
that is true. You could have had a can of Guinness. We should have had cans of Guinness.
Ooh, yes. Yuck.
Sarah doesn't.
Or green. Wear green. We should have been wearing green. You know, like something. You know, appropriate.
I've got some green on my top.
Yes. Serve. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
The only time
really...
I've ever had Guinness is with black currant in when I was pregnant for my iron levels.
There you go. That is a thing, Guinness and black currant. It's got a special name, hasn't it? What's it called?
Disgusting.
No.
Oh.
You can order it. Oh.
You can, yeah. What's it called?
Because the foam goes red on top, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Yeah.
There you are. Anybody on the stream knows what Guinness and black currant is?
Come on, guys, there's got to be some drinkers there.
Yes. No, they won't want to admit to that, actually, Sarah.
That has lemonade with Guinness. I'm sure if there's anybody that has any form of Irish in them whatsoever, they're probably just absolutely screaming out now at the idea of either blackcurrant or lemonade in Guinness.
No, that's a Guinness shandy.
Yeah, yes. Black and tan. Karen Taggart says it's black and tan.
That's the one.
Yes, yes.
Well, definitely. What's the tan? Oh, the black's the Guinness. What's the tan if it's red?
I don't know, but that's right.
I'm trying to think. What is it called? Black velvet when it's got champagne? That's more my style.
Yes, I think it might be.
Yeah. Come on, Liz. You might know. Does Liz drink Guinness, Tim?
No.
Oh, right. Forget it then, Liz. So there you go. Thanks, Karen. Black and tan it is.
Very good. So last week we were in our theme. We were continuing to think about a bit of lament. And now I'm always encouraging people to email in tim@allsaints-wellington.org. And I had an email from Peter who raised a couple of points that we'd talk about it this week as well if we wanted to. Got to be careful. There's a lot of emotions around in lament, and maybe we need to disentangle self-pity from righteous sorrow or anger for the suffering of others.
Yeah.
And sometimes emotions such as grieving feel too personal for public kind of expression.
Mm. Yeah.
And then some questions around, is it wrong or not wrong to ask God why things are happening or to be almost angry with God?
That's
when
right.
Things are going wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, God's not frightened of the challenge.
Yeah.
No.
That, as Peter says, not doing so, does that verge on stoicism, just like pretending everything's okay?
Mm. No, it's a good point. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I think I'm just wondering from the point of view is, the question I asked last week was, well, if you are the maker of these woes, what right have you got to go to God and say, why is this happening?
Mm.
That was my question.
If it's been self-inflicted.
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes I think when we do go to God and say, why is this happening? God invites us to look in a mirror, and we have to be ready for that.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't get an answer at all, and sometimes just asking the why, being able to ask someone why, is comfort enough.
Yeah.
And also, I was watching similar sort of line, really, but perhaps a different angle. I was watching a sermon today, and it was talking obviously about the situation with COVID and stuff. And, you know, the pastor was saying that about a month or so before lockdown, the person that he was talking to was saying, I hate my life. I can't stand my life. I've just had enough. Lockdown comes, talking to that same person, I just wish I could get back to how things were before. So now hang on a minute. So one minute you sort of want all of that to change, and now it's changed, and you want to go back. It's a little bit like, you know, Israelites wanting to go back to Egypt and, you know, get us out of here. And then it's all, we don't like that. We want to go back. You know.
Yeah.
It can cause a lot of confusion, can't it?
It can.
Yeah.
So do contribute on the comment stream if you're live with us. Do send us an email if you're catching up either on the podcast or on one of the video streams. Love to hear from you. We'll put it into next week's. This evening's theme, we're thinking about generosity. And we've got a bit of a thought starter. It's a little bit different to what we normally do. It's not quite such a kind of reflective piece. It's a kind of introduction to the theme from the good folk at the Bible Project. They've got a whole range of really good videos on their YouTube channel. Some of them have been on the Facebook page at 8 o'clock on weekday evenings. But they've got a kind of a 5-minute video on generosity as a theme through the whole Bible. And we thought that would be a good thought starter this evening. So wherever you are, whether you're out on your bike, walking the dog, sat in your living room, whatever you're doing, let's just have this thought starter video. Not the end button, that's the wrong button. Oh, I know what I'm doing, honest. Here we go.
Imagine your friend invites you to a party. You arrive and there's lots of people, decorations, food and drink. There's enough for everyone.
When you're hosted by someone that generous, you don't have to worry about your needs. You can just enjoy yourself and focus on the people around you.
Yeah, that's what a good host wants for her guests.
And this is the picture of the world that we find in the Bible. Creation is an expression of God's generous love. He's the host, and humans are his guests in a world of opportunity and abundance.
And we're called to keep the party going, to spread his goodness. This is a beautiful picture, but it's not the way people experience the world. Rather, we find a world of scarcity and struggle, not abundance.
And Jesus grew up in that kind of world. Under military occupation, people losing their land or families to debt and poverty. And yet, he would say things like this. Look at the birds. They don't store up food for themselves, yet they have enough. Or consider the wildflowers. They're beautiful and abundant, and they don't stress about their existence. And you all should live that way, too.
But surely Jesus knew that things don't always work out. I mean, sometimes there really isn't enough.
And Jesus did experience poverty firsthand, but he viewed the world through the story of the Hebrew Scriptures, which claimed that our scarcity problem isn't caused by a lack of resources. Rather, the problem is our mindset that God can't be trusted.
Maybe God's holding out on me. Maybe there isn't enough, and maybe I need to take matters into my own hands.
And once we're deceived into that mindset of scarcity, we can justify the impulse to take care of me and mine before anyone else. And that leads to envy and anger, violence, and a world where it seems like there's not enough.
The party's over, it's turned into a battleground.
But God wants humans to experience his generosity, and so he chooses one people, the family of Abraham, and he promises to give them the abundance that he wants for everybody else. God will provide what they need. All they have to do is trust his generosity.
And through them, the whole world will see how generous the host really is.
But that's not what happens. Abraham's descendants, the Israelites, enter a land of abundance, and they promptly forget the host who gave it to them. They act like it's all theirs, and like there's not enough. And it leads to war and Israel's self-destruction.
If I were the host of this party, I think I'd just give up.
But God doesn't give up. What he does is surprising. He gives another gift.
Another gift?
Yeah, but this gift is different. What God gives is himself.
All right, and Jesus, the host himself, comes to join in on the spoiled party.
And notice, Jesus lives with the conviction that there is enough, and that our generous host can be trusted. His mindset of abundance allowed him to live sacrificially and generously, even towards his enemies.
And Jesus called his followers to trust in God's abundance like him.
And that's why he said things like, sell your possessions and give to the poor, or don't worry about your life. He's inviting us to live by a different story, one that is built on trust in God's goodness and love.
But living generously doesn't mean life is gonna go well. I mean, look at Jesus. He was betrayed by his friends, and he suffered.
And this was no surprise to Jesus. He knew that people would take advantage of his generosity. In fact, that was his plan.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. Jesus knows that we're all hopelessly deceived by this lie that there's not enough.
Yeah, that lie needs to be defeated.
And so that's what Jesus was doing when he gave us the gift of his life. Jesus' death was the ultimate expression of God's generous love.
Yeah, God's love can turn death into life and scarcity back into abundance.
Or as the Apostle Paul put it, you know the gift of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, that even though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich.
And Jesus called his followers to live like the real party has begun.
Yes, he called it the kingdom of God. And our invitation to this party is yet another gift, the personal presence of God's own Spirit that can teach us how to trust the generosity of the host, just like Jesus did.
Yeah, and when you believe there's enough, you start seeing opportunities for generosity everywhere, with our time and money, our attention.
Yes, one of the most important ways that we can experience the abundance of God's new creation is sharing with others because of our trust that God is the generous host.
I love the Bible Project.
I was actually watching that the other day.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah.
I also love that idea of God as the party host.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of us naturally think of God as the party host, the party giver, the party God.
Not normally, no. You wouldn't associate that, would you?
Yeah, I mean, worship can feel like a heck of a party sometimes, can't it?
It can.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I know you've got that. There's that the passage where Jesus was at the party and he turned water into wine and that. And a lot of people like to say that he was the life and soul of the party. So you've got that that passage. But I think people's general perception of God isn't of a party person. I think it's more of a, I would suggest, more of a sort of stern dad figure, you know, like, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, and you're very naughty and all that. I think a lot of people, that's their perception of God, you know.
Yeah,
it's my feeling.
So maybe that's something for us to think on this evening and to kind of take on board.
Yeah, I mean, that's a shame, because that's more sort of the before Jesus and the Holy Spirit taking it, isn't it? It's more the Old Testament take, you need to accrue in order to get up there. As opposed to, it's all about receiving and realizing that you've already received it.
I think that's a bit unfair on the Old Testament. There's loads of festivals in the Old Testament that God told his people to have.
Yeah, but I'm talking about what Sean was saying about people seeing God as being stern.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean, yeah. And saying you've got to do this and you've got to do that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, staying on the theme of generosity, obviously, I remember I spoke to, you know, years ago when I was really evangelistic in terms of my personality, and I would talk to anybody about Jesus. And I remember one time speaking to somebody about, you know, making a commitment, and they couldn't. They just said that their words were that they weren't good enough and that God would, you know, how could they have God, how could God accept someone like me? Because God was a God of wrath and sternness and you know, I couldn't be obedient enough and all this sort of thing. And it was all because their perception of God was of a stern kind of person, you know?
Yeah.
That's a shame, isn't it?
And yeah, it occurred to me that in that we would, it was very much that one of the core lies is that there isn't enough. And it's occurred to me that one of the other lies that we get deceived by is that you're not enough.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And in God, there is always enough. And by in God's love, we are always enough.
Exactly. And for us not to think that, knowing that God loves us, then, you know, if God loves us, then who are we to think any different? He wouldn't love us if, you know.
Yeah. And there's another one. The other lie is that God isn't enough.
Yeah, definitely.
And God is enough for everything we need. Oh, anyway, we got a bit distracted.
We did.
But that's okay. It's all about generosity. We're going to have a look at the Bible readings. Who's doing the first one for us?
That's me. Sure. Yes. So I'm going to be reading from Acts 4, verse 32 to 37. And the title of the passage is "The Believers Share Their Possessions." All the believers were all one heart and mind, and they felt that they owned, felt what they owned was not their own. They shared everything they had, and the apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great favor was upon them. There was no property among them because, sorry, there was no poverty among them because people who owned land or houses sold them and bought the money to the apostles to give to others in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one of the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the inland island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles for those in need.
Thank you. And Sarah, what are you reading for us?
I'm reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. And this is taken from the Sermon on the Plain, which some scholars tend to think that the Sermon on the Plain, or so I read, I'm not a scholar on this myself, this so I read, that the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount are the same thing. Then other scholars think, well, no, the Sermon on the Plain was a shorter one, and actually Jesus preached in lots of different places and often the same thing. So, and what he's actually talking to the disciples about is, it's born out of two run-ins he's had with religious leaders. First of all, the disciples, they were angry with because they saw them pick some heads of grain up on the Sabbath, and then with Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. So this is where it was born out of. So it's Luke 6, 27 to 36, and this is New International Version. Love for enemies. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he's kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. So as we reflect on that, let's pray. As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And as I'm sharing some of my thoughts on this, if you've got comments or questions, do put them in the comments stream. If you're with us live, Sarah will pick those up. And if you're catching up later, drop us an email. We'll look at them next week. So starting in Acts, the bit that Sean read for us, that's really challenging, isn't it? No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. That is pretty challenging.
It is.
I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about when kids are little, we spend an awful lot of time trying to teach them a couple of things. One is share nicely. How often do you say to your kids, share nicely? And the other thing is that they can't just take what they fancy off other children. When our toddler groups are running, barely a week goes by without some youngster or other being in tears, either because someone else is just holding on to the toy they want to play with, or because some kids swiped a biscuit off some other kid's plate. Share nicely. And don't take what isn't yours. But actually, you kind of expect that with youngsters, and you hope and you train, you help them to grow out of it, because we don't want people to grow up being selfish. And actually, it seems to me that's what's at the root of both things. It's a selfishness. I want what I want, and never mind anyone else. So you try and keep hold of what you've got and grab other people's stuff. It's a selfishness, isn't it? But in contrast to that selfishness, we see the exact opposite in this early church community in Jerusalem. They're pooling their resources. They even get to the stage of being able to say, well, nothing that we have I own is mine. It's ours. Now, actually, if you read through the New Testament, through the rest of the New Testament, it doesn't seem like actually any of the other churches in any of the other cities practice this kind of full-on, if you like, pooling of possessions. But we do get lots of generosity of financial collections in one church for another, for church Christians in another city who were having famines and things like that. We have church workers being supported in their ministry. We get all kinds of examples of generosity. And actually, underpinning that is this one lack of unselfishness that we share everything, and this idea that actually, when we're members of the body of Christ, the things that we have as individuals aren't ours. It's like a modern example would be like when we give to the church, it's not that we're actually giving to the church. When we're just moving money from our personal bank accounts into our common bank account, into the common pot. Yeah. It's not us giving to something that we're not part of, because we are the church. So it's not like this big institution or organization over there that we have to give to. We're the church. And that's kind of how I hope we look at money at All Saints. We don't do the kind of all our possessions in common kind of thing. But then we don't find that very widespread in the Bible actually either. But we do, I think, have a generous church. I know there's other big differences between All Saints and the early church is that people don't come and put bags of money at my feet. They do, to be fair, they do occasionally put envelopes through the door with a kind of for the church on, which is lovely, but the big thing is it's completely anonymous. I have very little idea who gives what to All Saints. I don't really want to know, because I don't really want to know. But I know at the top level, I know there's about, I don't know, about probably 150 households who give through planned giving to the church. They give, I don't know, about average about £70 a month. That's quite a lot of money. And they put it into the common pot, the resources our work together financially. We sometimes have specific projects. We've just done a project where we've been sending out Easter packs to all the young people we have contact with, and people have donated to that. People give their time to help give those out and that kind of thing. People give one-off donations if they've had a windfall. There's loads of generosity around All Saints. I love it. I love the fact that we give away 10% of our income to mission organisations and agencies. Because there's this, I really believe there's this replicating pattern of generosity, that generosity breeds generosity.
Definitely.
And it's celebrate. It's something to celebrate, not something to like pat ourselves on the back or brag about, but to celebrate that this is one of the fruit of the spirit in our church community. Mm. It's one of the ways we show that we love one another. But I think we also see it in our value of loving our neighbours, because a lot of our generosity goes outwards. People are involved in food banks, people are involved as school governors, giving their time and their energy and expertise to that. People are involved in CAP Debt Centre as debt coaches, in street pastors, loads of things like that. But if we thought the challenge in Acts was hard, what about this one in Luke that Sarah read for us? Because we read about Jesus... love God, love your neighbor, but here he says love your enemies. Wow,
that's the tough one.
It is tough, that isn't it? And he gives us some practical examples of what it might look like. Pray for those who ill treat you.
Oh dear.
Really? Okay. If someone takes your coat, give them your shirt. That's probably the origin of the phrase, the shirt off your back, actually.
Yeah, I think it is.
Lend to people, no expectation of being paid back. If we take this seriously, it should really make us kind of wriggle in our seats. The banking system would collapse, we'd already taken advantage of.
Yeah.
He can't really amend it, can he?
On a personal level, I've grown up sort of understanding, you know, don't lend anybody any money if you need to get it back. You know, only lend it you can afford to forget about it. But obviously, if we're talking banks and stuff, you know.
Yeah. Well, okay.
We're paying the mortgage off.
So did God really mean it? Well, it seems to me that it's not like he wanted to give us another list of rules that we could either tick off because we're very superior and satisfied with ourselves, or that we just feel guilty about not being able to do. It's about practical example. It goes back to the thing of in the introductory video. Do we truly believe that we have a generous God and that there's enough? These are practical examples of what it might look like if we do believe that. And Jesus goes on right at the end to show why we should live like this. We live generously because we believe and trust in a generous God. God's been generous to us, so we're generous to others. And actually, Jesus, he lived this out perfectly. Even after they'd taken his coat and his shirt and every other item of clothing he was wearing and battered him to a cross, he was still praying for his enemies.
Yeah.
And gave his life for us. So he walked the talk. Little imaginative exercise for you, okay? Just imagine yourself in the Middle East, kind of a market. It's afternoon time, the sun's beating down, it's dusty, there's lots of colours, lots of spices you can smell. You're walking through the market and you come across a stall holder selling grain. And you watch for a bit. And the way it works is that people come up with their grain pots, and the stall holder and orders the amount they want, and the stall holder goes into the sack, gets the grain they want and gives it to them. And you watch this stall holder, and someone comes up and orders a cup of grain. So he takes his cup, looks a bit small, and he puts it into the sack and drags it out, and then he runs a ruler over the top to make sure there's no extra. And he pours it into the person's grain pot and takes the coin. And you walk on through the market. You come across another grain store. And you watch another customer come up. And he orders us a cup of grain as well. And the stall holder this time, she gets a cup. It looks like a good-sized cup. And she dips it into the sack and takes it out. And there's grain in it. And she kind of gets her hand. She presses it down and shakes it together and presses it down and shakes it together. There's a gap now inside the cup. So she puts it back into the sack and scoops it up again. And now the cup's full. And it's not just full. It's got a little pyramid of grain on the top. And she pours that into the grain pot of the customer. So which stallholder are you going to buy grain?
No brainer.
Yeah.
It is a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what in mind. A few verses later in Luke, Jesus says this: give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I think the thing is, as we've been going through Lent, we've been thinking about spiritual disciplines. And I do think that generosity is a discipline, something we have to choose.
Yeah.
Some of us find it easy to be generous in some areas of life and difficult in others. So you might find it easy to give money. Money doesn't really mean very much to you, but really difficult to give time to something. You might find it easy to lend things to people, but really difficult to forgive, particularly if they never bring your lawnmower back. We might be happy to volunteer.
That's an experience too.
No. We might be happy to volunteer, but we have real difficulty when other people don't volunteer, making generous assumptions about why they might not be able to. Yeah. But the great thing about this, about the whole of Christian life, is we're not alone in this. Our generous God has given us what we need. He's given us the Holy Spirit, as it said in that introductory video, to assure us of God's generosity. He's given it each other to kind of hold each other accountable and encourage each other and to practice on. And he gave us Jesus so that even when we fail, we can go to him and be forgiven and be released into generosity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's some thoughts on generosity. I wonder if there was anything particular from that or from the Bible passages that struck you. We'll have a chat about it on screen. If you've got things you want to put in the comments stream or email those into us, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, please do.
Lots on the chat. Ali's saying that there's a whole fear thing around money and possessions, so much security is placed in both. And I think it's a common theme, really, as you say, coming through. If you say generosity, there's always that sort of immediate thought about money, isn't there? And there's comments about sometimes you can be generous and people will take advantage of that. And it's difficult not to sort of bear that in mind then. But as Liz points out, Charlotte was talking a bit about that. And as Liz points out, the important thing is that God sees it. God knows your heart. God knows what you're doing. So that's really important, obviously. Liz is saying, actually, she's read there's actually enough resource to feed everyone on earth. There you go. But sadly, a small percentage keep the most wealth to themselves. What would the world look like if we shared? Wow, imagine that then, eh? Doing what the early church did.
Yeah.
People saying that would be so wonderful. Absolutely. I mean, from my point of view, when you talk about somebody being generous to me, it's not like Christmas and things like that. It's not financial gifts that I like. It's personal touches. And in fact, almost as if the US mail system knew about this needed to be here today, I received a very generous gift yesterday, totally out of the blue. It wouldn't have cost a single penny, and it's bowled me over. So, shall I show you?
Go on. For those on the radio, you're going to have to
I'm going to describe it. Well, actually, you guys can describe it if you want.
Go on, Sean.
I'll do it for you. I'm holding them. I don't know how big it is. It's a square.
It's like about a foot square.
Looks like a hanky.
It's like a very large hanky, yeah. And it's actually being constructed by, I do a bit of volunteering stuff, and this is from a guy on death row in Alabama that sent this. And he helps out with the church ministry there. And he's made me a prayer cloth. And so on it says, "The Adventures of Princess Warrior Sarah Parsons for the Lord Jesus Christ." And he's got "God Loves You" at the bottom, "Calvary's Real Love." He's drawn the crosses at Calvary. There's actually a yellow dove. Now, I know doves are white, but the cloth is white, so it's had to be yellow. So there we go. And then I counted 20-odd pink hearts, and what they're to represent are God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the saints, angels, and all my family and friends in heaven and everybody that loves me.
Wonderful.
And it's been anointed with oil, which smells gorgeous. And that arrived from America yesterday. Now, that's the sort of generosity that bowls me over.
Yeah.
Somebody taking time, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's important to bear in mind that people can be generous in so many ways.
Yeah,
absolutely. What about you, Sean? What struck you from those Bible readings or any other reflections?
I think just trying to aspire, I guess, to that passage that I read, really, about, you know, having the boldness to be able to say, right, we're going to, you know, have this attitude of giving and looking after other people, you know, their needs. Because if I'm honest, I'm not very generous. I'll be honest, I'm not a very generous person.
You are.
Yeah, as I'm reminded by my wife, actually. I think it's something to aspire to. I think that passage, really, to try and have a mindset of giving and thinking of others. And I think what I've been trying to do, actually, is with the food bank, really, at once a month, going and spending, you know, a certain amount of money on food for the food bank is something I've been thinking of. Well, not thinking, I've been doing it for the last couple of months. And as part of my giving to God, but also trying to be generous in my attitude and in my way of thinking. So yeah, that for me is what I feel God is saying to me at the moment, really.
You're very generous in your prayers and your support, and you are a very generous person. Come on, guys.
Thank you.
So how do we take this home? How do we help our youngsters grow up as generous people?
For me, it's about focusing on the things, the sort of things that have been pulled out in Luke's, the reading from Luke. The children have just gone back to school. They're all loving being with each other at the minute, but they'll probably start... when I say fighting, I'm not talking about slapping cheeks. I'm talking about verbal fighting. So having conversations about if you fall out with a friend at school, you know, what do you do? Do you go off and sulk? And just trying to have this conversation with them about how important it is to forgive each other, and, you know, that's the right thing to do, and help them to understand that.
Mm.
Definitely,
I've got a kind of a little two-word phrase that's been really important to me is making generous assumptions. It's like when you're cross with someone, or you've fallen out, or that someone's doing something you don't like, what assumptions do you make about why they're doing it, or what's behind it, and that kind of thing? Can you it's a discipline to make generous assumptions, to kind of stop yourself and think, okay, might there be another explanation that's a more generous reading of this?
Yeah.
And actually, even if you were right the first time, if you approach someone to a reconciliation on the basis of generous assumptions, it creates space. It creates space for the conversation rather than backing people into corners.
We automatically, I think, as human beings, assume that if somebody said something nasty to you or snapped, that it's because you've done something to offend them. You don't know if they've just left the house after an absolutely steaming argument with the other half or whatever. You know, we always try and personalize stuff, don't we? So I think you're totally right, Tim. It's got to just step back and think, now, hang on a minute, this isn't necessarily about me.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, talking to people about the generosity of God, people love that. They love amazing stories. You know,
you were going to tell one, weren't you, Sean?
I am. Do you want me to tell it now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, as I said before, I'm not a particularly generous person. So this story is particularly sticks in my mind because it's quite mind blowing, really. But
I'm not sure I understand.
But basically, I have been very shown a lot of generosity from people in All Saints. Because I've been, to be honest, as some of you will be aware, I contract, that's my work I've been doing for the last 5 years. I've been left working for the Royal Air Force. So I've been in and out of contracts. And obviously what happens is you can have a period of time between contracts where there's no work, there's no money coming in because obviously you're waiting for the next contract. So people have been in All Saints have blessed me, you know, amazingly. But one story one story that sticks in my mind is I've got a friend who's he's a carer for his wife. So he looks after her 24/7. And he said to me one day that he wanted to start riding, going out on a bike to get some exercise. You know, in between looking after his wife. So I was thinking about that, and he'd been saying this for a while, actually, and I wasn't sure if he didn't have the money to buy a bike or whether he was just thinking about it or not. So I've got a mountain bike, and I thought, do you know what? I'm not using this bike. Why don't I give him the bike? So, and because I said earlier I'm not very generous, I actually had to psych myself up to give him the mountain bike, which I did. And I gave him the bike and felt very good about it, really, because this is something that, like I say, isn't a natural thing for me to do, things like that. So anyway, he was really glad of having the bike because that meant he could get out and get some exercise and go around the place. And at the same time, I was actually not working, and I had previously had to get rid of my car, so I had no car that I could use for work. I then got a contract which I needed the car for because I couldn't actually get there by train or bus, it was miles away. So I having given this guy a bike that the previous week, the following week I was told that I needed to start this job. And I'd be starting on the Monday. So I thought, right, well, I'm going to have to get myself a car to get to work. And I'd organised some money to go and purchase a car. And this was on the Sunday. I would organise to go and buy this car and so I could get to work on the following Monday. So I, amazingly, someone came up to me and completely randomly said, I've got a car, it's sitting on my drive and I need to get rid of it, it's getting in the way, and do you want it? And I went, yes. I do, actually, because I was actually going to buy a car. So they said, okay, you can have it now, come and get it. So I automatically thought in my mind that this is like crazy. I've never had this happen before. And I assumed that the car they were talking about was probably an old banger that they basically had been sitting there for years, you know, rotting away. And so I went to their house to get the car. We'd arranged what time I'd go and get it to get the keys and logbook and whatever else. And I turned up and I walked up their drive and I saw these cars and I saw a car, which I thought it was, and I knocked on the door and I said, hi, you know, come get the car. Yeah, come on in. Did all the paperwork. They gave, handed me, showed me what the car was, and I was like blown away. I said, you can't give me this car. I said, you could sell it. It's worth a lot of money, you know. And they said, no, we want to give it to you. And so it was a double kind of whammy, really, because I've been blessed with a vehicle, but it wasn't just a vehicle. It was a car that was a very good car and obviously of worth. So I was really humbled by that, really, because I'd never had that experience. But what he did say to me is that God provides. And, you know, when you're prepared to give something away, God will fill the gap. He will bring it, you know, give you what you need. He supplies all your needs, and he did. And so that is something, a story of generosity, which is really, has really spoken to me, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Wow. That's saying what goes around comes around, eh, Sean?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God is good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right stuff. So I think we might, unless is there anything else particularly you want to pick up from the comment stream, Sarah, before we have a bit of worship music?
No, other than if anybody heard a funny noise, that was Charlotte's Alexa in the background. there's Love for Your Generous Assumptions, by the way.
Very good.
Ali loved your story as well. And Liz.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we all loved your story, Sean.
Thank you.
Very good. Good. Okay, well, we've got a bit of a golden oldie. Just helping us focus on Jesus, really, and to realise that we don't have to hold on to anything. We can give everything to Jesus because we've got all that we need in him. So let me share this. And then Sarah will lead straight in. Are you doing prayer, Sarah?
Sean is.
Sean's doing prayers.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Cool. Right. So we'll go straight into prayers from this. Here we go.
So I'm going to just going to start off the prayers with some prayers from St. Ignatius Loyola. Giving God, we receive so much from you and therefore have much to give. Help us to share in the blessings of giving as well as the happiness of receiving, that your love may be more widely shared through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not heed the wounds, to toll and not to seek for rest, to labour and not to seek reward, except that of knowing that I do your will. Amen.
Father, thank you that you created a world rich in resources, an abundant world. We're sorry that we have screwed it up so royally, that we don't share, that there is plenty to go around and yet we hold on to what we have. Help us to make good, generous decisions as individuals and to work for changes in society and for the cultural systems we work in, which share the resources you've given us more fairly. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for the generosity that you showed us in giving us your Son, and that Jesus showed in dying for us on the cross to forgive all of our sins. And we continue to pray, Lord, that we can follow that example and put others before ourselves.
Lord, it's so hard to even think positively about those who've hurt us, let us down. Never mind pray blessing on them and to give them even more. We can only do it by your Holy Spirit working in our hearts. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, come and do that work in us. Help us to pray for our enemies, those who've hurt us. Have generous hearts towards them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, and help us to understand that in showing that generosity and forgiving those that have sinned against us, then that also gives us freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom from the pain that's caused by bearing grudges, by not forgiving somebody. Thank you, Lord, that you're there for us. You see our hurt, our pain, but showing through Christ the example of putting others first. Thank you for your grace and for helping us to understand that we're all sinners. We all need forgiving. And that in forgiving, we gain freedom.
Amen. 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 Thanks, Sean. So, coming towards the end of this evening,
That was a quick hour tonight, wasn't it?
Well, it might not be tonight. I keep saying this evening tonight.
In the morning.
Some people might be listening to this in the morning.
Yeah.
In the afternoon. Who knows, really?
Afternoon. Yeah. On the wall.
Good. We're getting closer and closer to Easter.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
Next
week, we are thinking about meeting together. That's interesting, as church is opening up. Yeah. So, yeah, if you've got thoughts on generosity that you want to share with us, do email us in, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Either on this week's theme, generosity, or next week's theme on meeting together, and what that means as Christians, why it's important for us to do that as Christians. Anything final words from you two?
Just echoing what Ali said, it was open hands and open hearts.
Yay.
That will certainly make us all generous people. Well said, Ali.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, no, it's exciting that that we will be able to be All Saints at Easter time. That made me feel very happy, if I'm honest. Yeah.
I've booked my slots here.
Well, and for those who don't live in Wellington, if you want to see what it looks like, you can watch the live stream if you like, and the video will stay up, so you can kind of join in at a distance, because I know there are some folk who still won't be able to get out of their houses or live away. But yes, it will be good for us to be able to gather a little bit in person. Cool. Well, it's been lovely to see you two tonight. Say goodbye, Sarah.
Goodbye, Sarah.
Say goodbye, Sean.
Goodbye, Sean.
Hey, no, it's all that one. Bye. Goodbye, everybody. Good night. God bless.